You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
It's a rare person who doesn't enjoy jokes, but it's a rare figure of power who doesn't feel threatened by being made the target of jokes. So comedy in the media usually is confined to a sphere labeled entertainment and kept out of the sphere labeled news. The latter, it seems, is too dangerous to allow in people who can use words like matches that set fire to the pants of the power holders. To discuss comedy in the mainstream media, I'm joined on the phone by Charlie Demers. Charlie is a comedian, an activist, and a writer. He is co-host on Channel 13, City TV, weekday evenings, 6:30 and 11 p.m. The program's called City News List. Morning, Charlie, and welcome to Red Eye.
Morning, Mort.
The Fool is a fixture, really, in Shakespeare tragic plays that deal with kings and rulers. Do you think we need fools in today's news media?
I think in many ways we're fairly close in a figure like Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert to Shakespeare's more idealized fool. There's some historical debate as to whether or not actual historical jesters and fools have been sort of romanticized and given a bit more power than they actually had. But in Shakespeare, it's more of an ideal form of this person who has, you know, equal parts access to the powerful and immunity from punishment on the one hand, and also this sort of sharp, acerbic observations about what's going on and the willingness and safety to speak truth to power that wasn't available for other people. And I think if you look at someone like Stewart, who's an interesting figure because he's actually seemingly has gotten more and more radical over the course of his exposure to power. He has this incredible access to power holders in America, and they have to let him speak. But at the same time, it has a very, very sharp critique of what they're doing, and he's been able to sort of survive and keep his sharp edge with that access in a way that in Canada, when that same sort of access has been given to satirical acts, has tended to take the teeth out of them.
So Canada follows the kind of wimpy nice guy compared to the sort of sharp and I'm going to skewer you American comic?
Well, it hasn't always been the case. I mean, Canadians have been pace setters in this kind of satirical comedy for the past 20 years. In the 1980s, two left-wing nationalist filmmakers in Quebec, Pierre Falardeau and Julien Poulin, they created a character out of their anger after the 1980 referendum. They created this character that was just a caricature of all that they found repulsive and pro-American and hidden in the shadows about Quebec society, racist. They created this caricature called Elvis Graton, who was, just such a painfully funny character, and that was a way of making their sort of lamentation for society enjoyable, and people flocked to it. He was a cultural phenomenon. Or you look at things like the Dead Dog Cafe on CBC Radio, which was, one of the first times that listeners across the country were sort of introduced to indigenous anger about modern day sort of corporate neocolonialism in a way that was accessible and funny, and also stuff like CODCO and particularly the work of someone like Mary Walsh, who never shied away from just absolutely lampooning sexism and class hierarchy and really spoke with this sort of hilarious but also enraged kind of Eastern Canadian working class roots. The problem is, at a certain point in time, people, the powerful in Canada, kind of jumped on the bandwagon and made things like This Hour is 22 Minutes and the Rick Mercer Report, turn them into campaign stops. And I think Canadian satirists have sort of made a Faustian bargain with those people in return for that access. And so you look at someone like Rick Mercer today, who's just, if he's parodying anything, he's parodying satire. So I think it's, in a way, we seem to have lost a bit of our bite, and it does seem to be a lot of what's exciting in North American satire does seem to be coming from the States.
When you look at the various areas of journalism, so-called serious journalism, whether it's newspaper or radio or television, it's always struck me that the people who are sports journalists seem to have a greater opportunity, are given greater opportunity to, in fact, opinionate and make critical comments and so on, and use satire as well. Does the comic figure like Stewart or Colbert seem to have more latitude than other areas of commentary on the events of the day?
I think in someone like Stewart or Colbert, you have a combination both of the kind of George Plimpton, or you know, that both the journalists sort of covering sports in a way that's critical and engaged, but also sort of like the Muhammad Ali figure that kind of journalist would be covering, in the sense that people are willing to listen to a very harsh critique of their society if it's coming from someone who they acknowledge as having some sort of gift or some sort of virtuosic, you know, Muhammad Ali was you know, that much stronger the critic of American society, because he was such a virtuoso in what he did, and he had this undeniable talent. And similarly with Colbert and Stewart, I think they're able to get away with it because of how good they are. I also think they're able to get away with it because of how bad news is, and how you know, punditry, what passes for punditry is in a way so self lampooning that you know, quote unquote serious news really surrendered the terrain of being taken seriously to these guys, so that, you know, sometimes you really are, and you know, in a way that's not, you know, I'm not being facetious or trying to be cute, I mean, you really are getting a sharper analysis sometimes from these entertainment shows on comedy networks than you are from, you know, CNN or you know, even CBC.
So you mentioned the technique of the Quebec artists who used the creation of a character. You mentioned people like Colbert. I guess what stands out for me is that situation where there was a journalist gala event, and George Bush was the invited major guest, and Colbert did an absolutely devastating skewering, not only of Bush to his face, but of the journalists as well. Is that been replicated at any other point, or is that a one-off experience?
The White House Correspondents Association dinner in 2006, I don't think it was necessarily a one-off, but it was an absolute high point. I think when that happened, just comedians around the world were so proud of Colbert, and so proud of their medium, and just really it set the new, you know, gold standard for what you could do with your art. What Colbert did was that the White House Correspondents Association dinner is this sort of notorious love-in for the president and the people who are supposed to be covering him critically throughout the year, and they get together for these, you know, this tuxedoed dinner where you know, the presidents get to tell jokes and show how human they are, and just it's entirely just a cozying up affair. And Colbert not only stood up and skewered Bush, which actually would have been fairly easy at that time. He was already fairly unpopular. And he not only stood up and skewered the media, which was just enormous and really not an easy thing to do, but he also performed for a new media age. He knew that his video, the video of his performance, his performance wasn't meant for the people in the room. His performance was meant for the people who would be watching the video when it went viral on the internet. And someone who's it's really hard to explain to non-comedians just how incredible an achievement it is to get through a routine that the people in front of you are not only not enjoying but are hostile to. You know, if you the live audience is always more important as a performer than the ethereal kind of hypothetical audience at home listening on the radio or listening on TV. It's really hard to play for them, just because of the chemistry and the physics of how comedy works. So the fact that he was able to stand up in a hostile room, I think only comedians knew exactly how much courage that took, not only as you know, politically, but as a performer. But that moment was, I know so many comedians who just, I mean, their faces were aglow after that happened, because it was the most dignified person in the country for that whole week, was someone who does what we do, and it was an incredible validation.
Lastly, do you have any expectation that Obama's going to be a target of serious satire, just as Bush and Sarah Palin were?
I'm not optimistic that the train will keep going. Although, as I said, I have been surprised, pleasantly surprised by guys like Stewart. I mean, he has definitely gotten more progressive over the course of his show, and his whole moving from lampooning Bush to lampooning, you know, guys like Jim Cramer and financial analysts is really a positive sign. On the other hand, I just frankly think that feelings for Obama are too high, and I don't think that people like Stewart and Bush will go after him with the same. I think they've hit their high water mark with George W. Bush. That having been said, maybe that could be good news for what I was saying earlier about the loss of Canadian primacy in satire, because with Harper in power and the only thing on the horizon being Ignatieff, we'll certainly have a lot of reason to sharpen our teeth up.
Okay, Charlie, we'll keep watching as you sharpen your teeth.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Charlie Demers. He's a comedian, activist, and writer, and he is also co-host on Channel 13 City TV. It's weekday evenings broadcast at 6:30 and then repeated again at 11 p.m. The program is called City News List, and you can check him out at thelist.citytv.com.